following up on the last things. Last things are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. This is a sequel to what we were studying a couple weeks ago. So this is the second class we have on the reality of hell. Serious topic, but very important. So, let's start. Eternal Reality and Existence of Hell, Part 2. We've already studied and learned some biblical passages on hell from the teaching of Jesus. In this lesson, we would like to learn about who goes to hell, why they go to hell, and what is hell like. Finally, on the positive note, what can we do to avoid hell and help others to avoid the true but cruel reality of hell? Okay, so let's visit hell, and we'll get out of it at the end of class, okay? Does hell exist? Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. We've learned this from Jesus in many biblical passages, okay? What I'd like you to do is I'm going to give you the biblical passages. I want you to write down next or below number one, write down Matthew 25, MT 25. Okay, and then we'll write down next to that LK 16, Luke 16. And write down John 15. And write down Matthew chapter 5. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we went through those five biblical passages. I'll remind you of one of them. Jesus says at the end, there will be the general judgment. They'll separate the goats from the sheep. And they'll say, I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. Thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was a foreigner, you didn't welcome me. I was in prison. And second, you didn't visit me. Out of my presence into the eternal fire. Whatsoever you did not do to the least of my brothers, you didn't do to me. Pretty clear words, right?
It was chapter 5, right?
That's Matthew chapter 25. But also Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out. If your hand is an occasion of sin, cut it off. If your foot is an occasion of sin, cut off. Better to enter into heaven with one eye, with one foot, or with one hand, than to be cast into hellfire. That would be Matthew chapter 5. 25 is what I just said. In Luke 16, remember the parable of the rich man? We talked about the rich man ate sumptuously every day, and the poor man was at his gate. Wouldn't help the poor man out, and then the rich man dies, he finds himself in hell because he didn't help out that poor man. That poor man was Jesus Christ. His name was Lazarus, but it was really Jesus disguised in that poor man. Okay, so those are very clear biblical passages that refer to the reality of hell. None of us want to go to hell. None of us want to go to hell. So this could elicit within us a real fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So we have a real fear of the Lord. This will help us to try to avoid committing mortal sin so that we won't die in mortal sin. If we die in mortal sin, we're going to lose our soul for all eternity. And that's something very serious. So maybe right now you don't love God yet. I don't know. Maybe you don't. But if you have fear of the Lord, that's enough to get you into purgatory. And one day we hope that, we hope that they really do love God, right? That's our aim. Maybe we don't have a real perfect love for God right now. But if we have this fear of the Lord, that's enough to get us into purgatory. And from purgatory, we're going to get to heaven. Purgatory is a temporary place of purification. Okay. What is hell? Hell is it is a an eternal place of torment. Right, that it's an eternal place of torment, which souls suffer terrible and horrible torments for all eternity. Can anyone recall possibly the most excruciating suffering you've ever had in your life? None of you have suffered yet? Remember once, years ago, one of our confirmation teachers, Kevin Kearns, I don't know if you know him, he teaches on Friday. I was playing tennis with him, and I'm a pretty good athlete, but I fell when I was turning one of the balls. I fell wrong on my ankle, and I sprained my ankle, and I was writhing in pain for about 3 minutes. It was about felt like the pain was shooting throughout my whole body. And eventually I had to go to the doctor and get crutches for a day or two. But I remember it, when I fell, man, that was really painful. I'd say something was maybe just as painful when I was 14. I went to, which is the dream of all 14-year-old kids, I went to, do any of you know the best baseball camp in the country? Williamsport. So I went to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So I was your age, and we were playing underneath the lights in AstroTurf. This was 50 years ago. And I was having a lot of time, and I was an infielder. So I was playing second base, and I was always a very attentive and good fielder. Senior in high school, I had like a 960 fielding average my last year, which means I made one error the whole season. No? But what happened was there was a guy in first base, I think he was playing shortstop, must have been, and the ball was hit and they're trying to turn two. Turn two means make a double play. And I wasn't paying attention, and the second baseman threw the ball and hit me right in the cheek. He threw it really hard. Oh, that really hurt. But it hurt my pride. It hurt my pride probably more than my face, no? And that was the only time that ever happened to baseball where I didn't get the ball, no? So there was a double suffering there. There was the my cheek, which took about a week to heal. But my pride, it took about 10 days to heal, no? So you might even call to mind one of your greatest sufferings, and hell is going to be 1,000 times worse. It's going to be forever. They're not just going to be one moment, it's going to be much more painful, but it's going to be forever and ever and ever. That should help us to live in the fear of the Lord, to try to avoid sin. It's a very serious topic, but I think if they take this seriously, this can help us to start to put our lives in order. Yeah. Yeah. Move on. What are some of these torments? There are many, and they go far, write it down, beyond our imagination. Yeah, beyond our imagination. We'll give a list of some and the most important. So let's start with the first. That is fire. Fire. Fire that will torture the soul forever. Imagine being burnt and magnify this 100 times. A little bit small idea. Now the fire hell is different in the sense that when I was their age, my dad would set up a bonfire at the end of October, November, and we rake up the leaves, we throw these leaves on the fire, and you see all these leaves being burnt for about 2 or 3 hours. We have 3/4 of an acre, no? But if you put a leaf in a fire, it's going to be consumed by the fire. Right? If you take a piece of paper, you put it in the fire, it's going to be consumed. Hard to understand this because, you know, your soul is going to be burnt by fire, but it's not going to be consumed. So it's hard to understand that, right? Because just the law of physics, you know, basic physics, if you put a piece of paper in a fire, the fire is going to burn the paper. and very quickly. So your soul is going to be consumed by that fire, but it's going to be burnt by the fire, but not consumed. The souls in hell right now are just there with their souls. Okay, so there's no one in heaven except Jesus and Mary in their bodies. But in hell, you have the devils. The devils are spiritual beings. And the damned souls. So it's only at the end of the world, there's going to be the general judgment where Jesus calls all the people together who ever lived, from Adam and Eve to the last person. And he's going to separate the damned from the saved. And the damned will go into hell at the end of the world with their bodies. Now they're just with their souls, with their bodies. And their bodies are going to suffer with their souls even more intensely than those who are suffering just with their souls. It's horrendous if you think about it. You'd think that the fire is going to consume the bodies and soul, but it's not going to happen. So God is going to allow the decomposition of the body and the soul to keep returning. I've often thought about this. What would happen like if, say for example, you're in hell and you're surrounded by, maybe you're surrounded by 10 devils, okay? There's going to be a lot of devils. And each devil has a knife. So if that devil, he cuts your head and then your neck and then your torso and then your body and then your legs. Well, what's going to happen if your body's cut in pieces? If that happens here, that's over, right? But in some way, God will, it's hard to understand, God will allow the body to come back together again. Then the devils can, you know, you cut you in pieces, and having fun cutting you into pieces, and then throwing you into the fire, and then fish you out of the fire. I mean, it's horrendous, isn't it? I think about the love of God every day, but I think about hell every day. I don't want any of you guys to go to hell. I really don't. But if you want to go to hell, you can go there. You know, it's up to you. Right? I mean, God respects our freedom. But we hope that by the end of 2 years, they still have another year to go, another year and a half, you're going to arrive at the point, not only do you have fear of the Lord, but you really love God. Right, Paul? That's our hope. Yeah, maybe we haven't arrived at the love of God yet, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Right? We're on the right path. Okay. Scared one guy away, didn't I, huh? Did you scare him? Oh, yes, so. Is he calling his mother now? Be a man. Listen to it, okay? Okay, next is this. We'll get him back. Yeah, we'll get him back. Is despair. Despair. The Italian poet, Dante, depicts the entrance of hell with these words upon the entrance. Look at the placard there on the right. It says, whoever so enters here shall what? And right in there? Shall abandon all hope. Abandon all hope. To encourage you, until the last moment of your life, you can all be saved. Right, Paul?
Yes.
To the last moment of your life, you can be saved. Even if you've done the worst things in the world, the end of your life, you say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I love you, you're going to be saved. If those sentiments are in your heart, Jesus, I'm sorry for having any, I love you. You know, that sentiment in your heart would be enough to save you. You know, last night at the 6:15 Mass, that I often say the 6:15 Mass in Spanish, there's a woman that came in the church. You've probably seen her. Often when you guys are coming out, she's coming in the church in a wheelchair. You ever see her? Probably seen her?
Yeah.
This morning she died of a heart attack. She's dead. Man, she's dead. Wow. Didn't look that bad. She went to Mass, went to Communion, went to Confession of Father Craig. I was giving a class here at 7, finished 8:30. I saw her being pushed by Angelica, pushed to her car at about 8:30. She had a heart attack. She died this morning. Wow. Incredible. We don't know we're going to die, do we? We've got to be prepared. We shouldn't put off our conversion, should we? A lot of teenagers say, well, I'll become better when I'm in my 40s or 50s. How do you know you're going to live to be 50? You might live to be 90, but you might live to be 13 and a half. How old are you now? Right? I call it, you ever have a Russian roulette? Ever heard that? Russian roulette is when you got a gun and then you spin the cartridge and then you go like this. It's called Russian roulette. Don't play Russian roulette with the salvation of your soul. Don't do that. Don't put off your conversion until tomorrow. Who knows, maybe we're not going to even have it tomorrow. Maybe we will. But God doesn't promise us tomorrow. You know, I think, Paul, if we think about this, we live a more sober, serious, calm, and prayerful life, don't you think? Yeah. Really do. Yeah. I wish I had this meditation when I was 14. I mean. So despair. Next is, number six is hatred. All in hell will hate everybody. Hate everybody else. As well as themselves. Now, it's almost unthinkable. And maybe we have got a couple of enemies at school. And maybe. But you know, there are people that care for you. Right? Your mother. Your father, maybe your brother, maybe your sister, maybe your catechist, maybe the priest, right? This kind of, it staggers the imagination to think that you're surrounded by all people that really hate you. You know? You're surrounded by just a total environment of hatred. You know? And it's always going to be there, the hatred. You might have someone that really hates you, then all of a sudden he becomes your friend. Sometimes that happens, right? Enemies can become friends even overnight. That happens on earth. No? Whereas friends can become enemies too. Could be the other way around. See, like everyone in hell is the enemy to all the other people in hell. Isn't that incredible? All are enemies. So there's not one person or devil in hell that's a friend. They're all enemies to each other. So no matter where you're walking in hell, it's always be afraid that someone behind you is about to stab you, right? They often thought about this. You guys like to eat? Can't even eat in hell. Do you ever go to bed at night? Do you ever sleep? Also in hell, you're never going to be able to sleep. I like a good night's rest. Don't you? I usually work hard. I hit the hay. I'm usually out. And I sleep pretty well at night. Hopefully a sign of a good conscience, not a dead conscience, I hope. Not even being able to eat, have a good pizza or beer, or not beer, but hamburger, papitas. No? Okay, next would be Satan, Lucifer, and the demons. The damned souls will be in company with Lucifer, Satan, and all the devils as companions for all eternity. Sometimes you look at those pictures of the devils in hell, you see Satan as being like a huge animal with a huge mouth, and you see a damned person who's actually in the mouth being chewed by Satan. Like a hamburger, no? He's chewing you.
I didn't realize that Michelangelo painted pictures of the devil and demons in that painting.
Yeah, didn't know that? The Sistine Chapel, yeah. Yeah. If you look at the Sistine Chapel, if you do like a Google and Sistine Chapel of Michelangelo, you see on the top, there are some of the souls that are damned. You see just the look of despair on their face, right? Yeah. The number eight is this. You go to bed with a headache, take a couple of Tylenol, you hope to wake up without the headache. But once you're in hell, there's no change. So we hope always to go from bad to good. Whereas in hell, it's always going to be from bad to worse. And worse and worse. They're never any better. Yeah. So that's number eight. No way, there's no change. There will be no change or possibility to leave this condition. On earth, when we suffer in any way, we hope for healing and relief. In hell, it goes from bad to worse and worse and worse. So we've arrived at the worst suffering in hell. What do you think it is? The worst suffering in hell would be number eight, and it is the loss of God. We mentioned eight things, but of all the sufferings in hell, the fact that you lose God for all eternity is the greatest suffering for all eternity, because you were made for God. You were made because God loved you. You're made because God wanted you to love Him. You were made and you rejected God's love in your life. You died rejecting God's love. So you lose God for all eternity. That's the worst suffering. Yeah. So the worst of all sufferings in hell is the loss of God for all eternity. We were created to love God and we rejected God's love. For all eternity, we will suffer God's wrath and anger and His punishment. And it's all our fault. And number 10, loss of Mary's love and the angels and saints. We also will lose the maternal love of Mary and the friendship of the angels and the saints. Right now Mary loves you. The angels love you. Your guardian angel loves you. The saints love you right now. But if you go to hell, you lose all that love too. We don't want to lose that, do we? Yeah. Okay, so the next part, why do souls end up in the eternal damnation of hell? Are you ready? Let's find out why. All of us are given this very precious gift from God, and it's called free will. Write that in there. It's called free will. It's called free will. What is free will? God allows us to choose between good and bad. He allows us to choose between good and bad. We can choose to sin by our free will. Maybe this is before your time, Paul, but we're more or less of the same epoch. There was a comedian back in the late 60s. His name was Flip Wilson. Remember him? And he always said, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." Is that theologically correct? The devil made me do it. Technically, that's wrong. The devil can't force you to do anything. He doesn't violate our free will. The devil can suggest that you do something that's wrong. Yeah, he can suggest. The devil, you know, God allows the devil to work on your imagination. Do you know that? Okay, you get a bad thought up here. All of a sudden, you're walking on this, you get a bad thought up here. It comes out of nowhere. That comes from the devil. Yeah. All of a sudden, you get this kind of ugly thought that goes through your mind like a movie image. Like a movie scene. It could be either like Instagram or like a YouTube. Know the difference? You ever heard of those things? Instagram or like a snapshot. Or it could be like a YouTube. The image is like 30 seconds. You got this bad thing. It's kind of going through your mind. Now what do you do? That doesn't come from God. That comes from the devil. You got to reject it right away. So when you're aware of that ugly thought, say Hail Mary and reject it. Now if you reject it, there's no sin. But if you have the bad thought, you have to either delete and not replay. You ever seen the computer, you got delete or replay? You want to delete it or eject. Not replay. Well, that's pretty interesting. I kind of like that bad image. No. You got to either delete it or you got to eject it, but not a replay. So God allows the devil, to play with her imagination. So that every time he allows that, if we're spiritual warriors, we're in spiritual combat, we're spiritual soldiers, we call out to God and we become even more holy. Our spiritual life is spiritual combat. It really is spiritual combat. Okay, so we have arrived at number three. Okay, die in mortal sin. What does it mean to die in mortal sin? It means to die without grace. It means to die without God's friendship. Write that in there. Die with God, without God's friendship. Mortal sin and hell. Why does somebody go to hell? They go to hell because they die in mortal sin. In the later class, we'll explain in greater detail what are the components of what we call mortal sin. Condemnation to hell. Then who and why does somebody go to hell? Anybody who dies in the state of mortal sin. Anybody who dies in the state of mortal sin, totally unrepentant of that sin, has merited the eternal separation from God and the eternal punishment for all eternity. It is never God's fault, but ours. Never God's fault, but ours. Okay, right now we're going to talk about how we can avoid hell. This is the good part of the lesson. We're all going to avoid hell. We're all going to avoid hell, right? What can we do to avoid hell? Many things. Letter A. Avoid mortal sin at all costs. Yes or no? Mark it. Put an X there. And we ask God to help us avoid mortal sin at all costs. Number two would be confession as often and frequent as possible. Confession. And as often as frequent as possible. You guys should go at least every month. If I were your biological father, I would take you every week. And I would go before you to give good example. Make sure that my wife goes, I go, and then you go. And bring your little sister, and your older sister too. And stay for Mass, receive communion, say the rosary, and then go up to Pollo Loco to celebrate afterward. I would do that. Okay, you know, right after Thursday confirmation class, we'll head off to the church. Father Antolini's in the confessional on that one. There's Father Craig over there. Let's wait in line. We'll make our confession. We'll stay for Mass. We'll receive communion. We'll pray the rosary. Then we'll go off and we'll celebrate. Every week, once a week, yeah. It's gonna be, okay, that means every Thursday is your mini retreat day, right? So Sunday you go to Mass, but every Thursday is gonna be, you're gonna be recharging your spiritual batteries. Yeah. You think about this. Go to see a movie. Then pizza afterward. 4 hours. So here you're here at 5 o'clock. You go to Mass at 6 o'clock. You make your confession. You're out of there after rosary at 7:15. Yeah, 2.5 hours. Oh, that's too long, Father. Oh, come on. Do you know how many hours there are in the week? 24 times 7? Any math majors here? 168 hours, huh? 24/7, I think it's 168. I've never been really that good at math, but I think pretty good at multiplication, no? So 168 hours, you can't give God 2.5 hours? Come on. And look at your week. How much, be honest, how much time do you waste? Things that are kind of irrelevant or are unimportant. Actually, today and Sunday, right now and Sunday should be the most important part of the week for them, right? This should be the most important class every week. We'll have an hour. Is this class, the purpose of this class is to help you to get to heaven. That's important, right? Mom said, oh, I heard that Father Bloom said, yeah, let's stay after Thursday. Let's go to Mass and pray the rosary. Oh, no, confirmation, that's enough. I'm going to have a spiritual heart attack. Come on, don't overdo it. And you go home, you're on your iPad for 3 hours watching some brainless movie. Right? Oh, yeah? Can't give God an hour and a half? There you are in the 11:30, watching something that's just dumb, if not downright immoral. It's a question of priority. What's most important for us? God should be number one, right? Hello? God should be number one. You agree with that? Good. Okay, next is fervent and frequent prayer that gives us grace to avoid sin. The night before you go to bed, at least 3 to 4 minutes, talk to God from the depths of your heart. Talk to Him as your best friend. You pray fervently 3 to 5 minutes. That's a lot. You ought to do it before you go to bed. Have a nice image of Our Lady Guadalupe or the Sacred Heart and just talk to Jesus how the day went. What happened during the course of the day. Tell Him everything that's going on. He's the best listener in the world. Yes? How humble God is. God is always ready to listen to us. God's never too busy, but we're too busy for God. How ironic, huh? You guys, I've thought about that lately, no? God is never too busy for us, but we are too busy for God. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Maybe you want to talk to God. Oh, He's listening. But God, no, I've got a really busy schedule, and I'm a really important teenager, you know? Got more important things to do than to talk to you. Come on. That's wrong. That's wrong. We want to put God first. Could we put God first in His life? He's going to be first for us for all eternity in heaven. Amen? Yeah. Next. Avoid the near occasion of sin. What does that mean? He who plays with fire will get burnt. He who walks on thin ice will cave in. He who walks on a slippery slope will slip and fall and slip to the end, down all the way down the hill. You know, what might be a near occasion of sin? Some person, place, or thing that leads you into sin. Got a friend that goes to the store, and you've known him, he's been your best friend for 5 years. But over the past years, do you know what a kleptomaniac is? He's an expert in what is called a five-finger discount. The five-finger discount. You know what the five-finger discount is? Five-finger discount. Five-finger discount. So he's an expert on the five-finger discount. And he's one of your best friends. He said, hey, come on, let me get right here. There's a lot of really good candy. See the open door there? There's no one checking it out. Right in the pocket, out the door, free Milky Way bar. Okay, he's a near occasion of sin. What do you have to do? Okay, he's my friend. He's not your friend. How do you define friend? Friend is someone that helps you get closer to God. He's a false friend. He's not a friend at all. And that definition of friend is someone helps you to become a better person. He's helping you to become a first-class thief. Ratero, as they say in Spanish, huh? First-class thief. Change friends. You know, sometimes you have to change friends. You know that? Oh, but he was my friend since I was in kindergarten, Father. Well, he's changed. He's living an immoral lifestyle. Drop him like a hot potato. Get another friend. You can hold on to a hot potato. Ah! Drop him like a hot potato. Holding on a hot potato. Ah! On pole, yes, huh? Give me blisters. Get another friend. Better to have one or two really good friends than have a whole team of bad friends that are leading you down the wrong path. Oh, but we made our first communion together, Father. Well, he's gotten rotten, huh? You gotta drop him. Oh, he's got a stampita de la Virgen de Guadalupe en su cartera. Oh, who cares? That's just a good luck charm. Yeah, a lot of the cholas. Yeah, they see the cholas, they got the rosary around their neck, so they won't be shot, huh? Doesn't always help them, though. Yeah, wear the rosary around their neck. I think it's like kind of a good luck charm, like the bulletproof shield, the rosary. That's not the way it works. Putting God to the test, really. Okay, next is fervent and frequent reception of the sacraments, yes or no? Yes. They should be receiving communion every Sunday, right, Paul?
Yes.
You guys go to Mass on Sunday, you should be receiving communion at least every Sunday. Hopefully during the week once more. And last but not least, love of Mary and the daily recitation of the Holy Rosary. If you do all those things, pretty good chance you're not going to end up in hell. Pretty good chance you're not going to end up at that place we've been talking about the past 45 minutes. Try to keep away from mortal sin, like poison, like fire. Confession, once a month, every 2 weeks. Pray every day, every night before we go to bed, pray fervently. Talk to God as your best friend. Keep away from those people that are leading you into sin. Avoid the near occasion of sin. Receive communion well. Not kind of a mechanical, perfunctory communion. Receive the Eucharist with a lot of love, faith, and devotion. Your great love for Mary. You do that, you guys are going to make it to heaven. Might have to go to purgatory first. But if you go to purgatory, you're going to make it to heaven. You're going to make it to heaven if you go to purgatory. All right, number 7. Duration of hell. How long does hell last? You know? Yeah, it's forever. So it's forever. It is eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know, Paul, of all of the chastisements of hell, after the loss of God, I think that would be the worst. You know, because when we suffer it, bad days end, and then we start off with the sun coming out, and the day is better the following day, as the poet would say. But being forever and ever and ever and having no end, that just, it staggers the imagination. It really does. So Our Lady Fatima said, if we would reflect on eternity, we would be converted in no time. Our Lady Fatima said that. How short our life is. Well, Paul, I've been thinking about this. You know, your father passed away, my father passed away also. How fast life goes.
My dad told me before he died, recently, he died, he said that he woke up and thinking he was going to go visit friends that he was like in his 20s. You know, he looked at his hands, he said, oh, I'm old. And he said, it seemed like just...
He lived to be, he was almost 90?
He was 96.
Oh, 96? Oh, yeah. Well, it's a long life, yeah.
So his mind felt like he was in his 20s, but his body was failing him.
Yeah.
You know, probably guys.
Well, you know, when I was when I was 13 or 14, some was 40. Wow, that's ancient. I really thought when I was your age, you're 40 years old. Wow, are you Fred Flintstone? I mean, you're from the middle age. Are you from? Now that I'm heading toward the mid-60s. 40 seemed to be pretty darn young. You think about your mom and dad, they're probably in their 40s. Well, that's ancient, isn't it, no? But, you know, mathematically, if I lived into my 80s, I've already lived more than 75% of my life. It means I'm closer to the other end of the bridge, right? I thought about that often, no? 80 seemed to be kind of, you know, like Father Antolini's already, you know, he's going to be 88 in about a month, you know. Wow, that's pretty old, no? But life is really short. St. Augustine, I love St. Augustine, he says, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. I like that, don't you? So your life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. The psalmist says, our life is like the lily of the field. It rises in the morning and dries and withers as the sun goes down. How poetic, huh? Yep. I like that. That's what St. James says, our life is like a puff of smoke. Puff of smoke. When I was a little kid, my dad used to smoke a pipe, a cigar, and he would sometime when he'd be smoking the cigar, he'd be blowing these circles, no? They're like little donuts. I tried to put my finger in inside those donuts. Every time I tried to do it, they disappeared. They evaporated before I was able to get my finger inside those rings, no? That's our life. Pretty short. So we should live our life to the fullest. You know what that means? Try to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And Father Alberto Tablo says, there are two places to rest. He's saying, a dos lugares para descansar, el cementerio y el cielo. ¿Habla español? Hay dos lugares para descansar, el cementerio y el cielo. Translation? Two places to rest. The cemetery in heaven. In the meantime, let's work. I like that. Okay, next. Did Our Lady of Fatima reveal hell? Yes, in her apparition to Saint Jacinta. Write that in there. Francisco and Lucia. Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia on July 13th, 1917. You've probably heard of Our Lady of Fatima and those three little children. Ever heard of them? Do you know how old the little children were when they died? Yeah, I say about 10 and 11. They didn't even arrive at 12. Do you know what happened? Let's see. Yesterday, 9 years ago. The oldest one of those died. Yesterday, 9 years ago, so Lucia, she almost lived to be 100. She died February 13th. It was 2005. She was a Carmelite nun. She's, I think she's about 98, almost 100. Whereas her cousins died when they were only about 10 years old. And then who died 2.5 months later? You know? John Paul II. So he died April 2nd, 2005. So two of the greatest figures in Catholicism died within only 10 weeks apart. And then John Paul II was canonized only 9 years afterwards, which usually takes 150, 100 years. He was canonized, made a saint only 9 years afterwards. Pretty quick, huh? Okay, so Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. If you want to Google in tonight in your computer and watch a graphic vision of hell, just Google it in, Vision of Hell, Fatima. You'll see probably 3 or 4 minute YouTube on the reality of hell. They saw a vision of hell. Okay, what are the principal reasons for most people going to hell, according to Our Lady Fatima? Most souls go to hell due to the sins of the flesh. That is to say, the sins against the virtue of purity. So attain that virtue of purity, you gotta pray a lot. You gotta pray the rosary, go to confession frequently, receive communion fervently. You know, you have to watch over your eyes, not to look at bad things with your eyes, because the eyes are the mirror of the soul. You know, the way that God made us, this is the dynamic. What goes into the eyes goes into this intellectual apparatus, which is called the mind. The mind has three faculties. It has the memory, the understanding, the imagination. And from the intellectual apparatus, it descends into this part. This is called the emotions. From the emotions, it goes into your heart. From the heart, it's translated into actions. The repetition of actions forms habits. Habits forms your personality, and personality eventually is going to determine your eternal destiny. How about that? Could you repeat that? It's interesting, though. That's the whole dynamic of the human person. So what we see goes into the eyes, it goes up here. From here it goes down here. Here it's translated into an action. The repetition of the actions forms what is called a habit. A good habit is called a virtue. Bad habit is called a vice. That forms our personality. Personality means who we are. And that determines our destiny, either up or down. There I have it. So we want to really try to work on controlling what goes into these eyes. You got to work on that, because you know we're bombarded by bad images. We are, no matter where we're bombarded by it. Bombarded means you ever playing bombardment with a ball? We're bombarded by these bad images. That's why in your rooms, all of you should have a nice big picture of Mary and Jesus. Do you have that in your room? Hello? Yeah, well, we've got to talk to their parents. I mean, almost all of you are Mexican. You should have a big image of Our Lady Guadalupe in your room. You should have Divine Mercy. Get that. Once you do that, you're in good company. And you're looking at these beautiful pictures of those two people love you most. So maybe for your birthday, Mom, I really want you to buy me a beautiful picture of Our Lady Guadalupe the size of the one they have in St. Peter Chanel on the wall. Okay? You come in there, wow, I feel like really the Blessed Mother's there ready to welcome me. Do it. We have someone looking at us with love. We're going to behave much better, huh? Okay, so there we have it. Number 10, Saint Faustina. OK, Okay, did Jesus reveal to Saint Faustina sufferings of those condemned to hell? Yes. Right in this. In the Diary of Mercy in My Soul, write that in there, write this, the Diary of Mercy in My Soul. I hope that all of you eventually will buy that book called The Diary of St. Faustina, Mercy in My Soul, number 714. What she does is she goes through what we already went through, the six different types of suffering that we experience in hell. So what we're going to do is this. Even though this has been a pretty serious topic for 2 weeks, we're going to say Hail Mary that all of us will go to heaven. And then we're going to say also the Hail Mary that all of our loved ones, our mom, our dad, our brothers and sisters, all of them will go to heaven too. And then we'll do all we can to help people get to heaven. Right, Paul? Do all we can to try to help people to get to heaven. You do that, God is very happy with you if you try to do all you can in your life to get people to heaven. That's true love, getting people to heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. God bless and have a good week. We'll see you at Mass on Sunday.
Father, this is a gift for you.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
If you already have a copy.
Any of you ever hear of St. John Bosco, any of you? Yeah, these are the dreams of St. John Bosco. We wonder his way to hell also.
Yes.
Thank you.